Hello. Aloha, everyone.
Aloha.
Aloha.
It's nice to hear everyone's voice today. Okay. We're going to go ahead and get started and take some breaths in your nose, out your mouth, and feel your feet on the floor. You might want to move your feet back and forth a little bit. See yourself on the new earth, the smokeless new earth. And we'll align to source. So there's a nice vertical line from you to an energy ball of source, whatever that is to you. But the most resonant one to you, not one someone may have taught you, not one that you've heard about, but the one that actually fits the vibrational resonance of you. And let that flow of energy go all the way through the bottom of your tailbone into the earth. It's a bit of golden light today, so if you're feeling that, just let that fill up your whole field. And by that, I mean the aura around you. Very good. I want you to see your pillars around you, or just know that they're there, 360 degrees all the way around you, 12 pillars. Each pillar has different dimensional qualities to it. They're amazing access points and portals for information for you. Very wise, but within it all, they have a constraint. And it is a non-interference. And you do have to interact with them. You need to interact with them as if it is a covenant. So there's a bit of respect back and forth. If you come in, you know, with an emotional plea, that's probably not going to be as effective as getting into your centered state to have that communication. Because what you give out comes back, and it'll get mirrored back. So if you go in with an emotional upset, that's fine, but keep working towards your aligned self, that centered space to ask questions or assistance. Just from our experience, we've noticed that people who are in that off-centered state, who start asking a lot of questions, things will just kind of mirror back to them, which is a great way to heal something. It's kind of the old-fashioned earth way, but you could do it much faster if you got centered first and with less drama. But we're humans. We're kind of attached to drama. So it's probably a good one to work on now. So if there's any place that I'm attached to drama, let's go ahead and release those anchors. And the part of me that thought there was no choice but to have extra drama in my life. We use drama to test ourselves, right? We're going to move to our equanimity now. So somewhere around your forehead, I'd like you to see some turquoise blue light. And that's connected also to your heart. And not just your high heart, your heart that knows your human condition, the heart that knows your will, the intelligence within your heart, where these fine filaments of energy are beginning to connect with new people, with your tribe. And sometimes we have a concept of who our people are that is different than how it really is. So also continue to collapse the ideas that may not be true. More and more we're going to discover what we're holding on to isn't really valid anymore. And to be able to be flexible with this and let go of concepts and move on to a higher one is going to be work in your favor. It's going to be to your benefit. Our pillars are benevolent. And so if we start getting suspicious or worrisome about them, they'll just collapse. And then they'll come back when you're ready to work with them again. So just keep that in mind. They're benevolent. And the reason we call them that is because that's the only way in our human place that we can connect with that high of a frequency right now. We have to absolutely know that to be true and hold that field, that this is working to your favor. Sometimes when we bring in high light, the most favorable thing it can do is work on our deepest wound. And that's why that might be uncomfortable. If you shine really bright light on a wound, it will reveal itself. So really high, wonderful light can be very exciting and fun and uplifting, but it also will draw out the part that's ready to heal. And it's human nature to think that we've been re-injured again when we have been given an opportunity to allow that to move out. A re-injury would be if it gets handled and then the love disappears, we abandon ourselves as opposed to holding that high frequency of unconditional love and acceptance. And I hold it on the calls, I hold it in sessions, and I do my best to hold it on Facebook. But you can also use the tools that are in the MP3s to help hold that energy with you, that high unconditional love. And of course, it's hard. It's hard because if you had accepted it before, it would have resolved, right? So it's a place that we're a little blind to, and everybody's got blind spots. And that's what we're working through. That's what becoming whole means. And we're whole, we're more empowered. Okay, keep breathing. All right, so there's some energy shifting in hearts right now. So I'm going to stay with that shift. And then in tailbones, I think quite a few people are awakening. And so I'm going to allow that energy to continue to move up and down the central core of you to clear. And we'll also run through the quantum particles of everyone and clear out layers that have emerged through our time together and densities that no longer fit, puzzle pieces that are moving into place. I've had quite a few emails about people feeling a lot more resilient, and that's beautiful. That you're going to definitely be happy for that skill. You're going to retain a lot more energy for new projects that you have and being able to reach your goals quicker if you're not sidetracked by worry, rejection, abandonment, all the things that get triggered along the way. Now, the purpose is the fuel of you. You know, the purpose is when you're aligned and you're out there doing things in your aligned condition, that is living on purpose. And every step you take in that aligned state to create and craft your life and to respond the way that that energy directs you to do, you're living in purpose. And when you are living on, you know, you're on your purpose because you start to feel better. That will also make you healthier. If you think your purpose is actually making you unhealthy, then there's more alignment to do. Then you haven't quite hooked in on it. You're probably in a healing on your way to it. Okay, let's keep breathing here. And those healings on a way to a more resonant or a more aligned purpose. Sometimes you go on a walkabout, you're going to explore some things. Sometimes, you know, we abandon what we think we want and we go try something else. And we usually come back somewhere in the middle of, between the new and the old. Almost everybody aligns somewhere there. I rarely see someone completely abandoned who they thought they were without going back into and picking up the best traits of that life as well. Okay, so there's a little clearing between people and their pillars, some people. So I'm going to put some energy there right now to clear out all the perception, all the projection issues. And the pillars do help collapse projection. One of the highest, I mean, it's really the highest form of metaphysical truth. What's happening outside of you is actually coming from within. So the confusion and the distress we see outside ourselves within the world is happening within. And so this can get confusing, but how it works the best in my experience is we go within and we shift what we can there. Our reaction, our resistance, our programming, we shift that. And then when we take actions in the outer, which we would do almost immediately, you take actions in the outer, you're going to have a clearer field of how you're going to help because you're not resonating the problem yourself. You're able to come from a more neutral and loving, accepting spot. And your contribution counts because you're not creating more of the problem you're trying to release. Okay, everyone breathe through that. All right, so there's a lot of light coming in. It's beginning right now to you and the pillars. We've worked a lot on divine awakening and the inner feminine awakening. And we all have these little parts of ourselves, you know, like we have our business self, we have our relationship self. We might have one part of ourself that's asleep that wakes up sometimes. We might have one part that is our public face, which is different than our private face. And I'd like you to just go deep into these aspects of our wholeness, our personalities. Many of us have a sleeping aspect of our power, the sleeping beauty, you might call it, but the sleeping aspect of our power, which is very powerful, but hasn't begun to move in your wholeness yet. And if that's the case with you, make an agreement with your pillars that it's time for her to awake and make agreements with the other parts of you that are more awake and working in the world with you, because you want harmony. And if you have a public face, you want to make a covenant with your pillars that also integrate in to the wholeness of you with the sleeping power that's awakening. If there's a magical part of yourself that you sort of play with or you play with a lot, also bring that to the surface and let her be assigned a pillar or two, and so that there is a harmonious convergence between all of these aspects of you. If there's a galactic aspect of you that also needs a seat at the table, go ahead and allow that to be there. There may be an angelic aspect. There might be a wounded child aspect, or a part, or a petulant child aspect. One that will, these parts of ourselves sometimes will drive us into ruin if we let them. So we're not going to parent them, because that didn't work the first time around. What we're going to do is accept them as they transmute. So go ahead and find an aspect of you that you're ready to awaken and see that within the pillars. Each aspect, and we'll take an example because almost everybody has a public face. It has an upside and it has a weakness. All of it does. Every aspect does. And so with our public face, probably get stuff done, but might be blind to the emotional needs of you. And so then you'll want to go to the part of you that has emotional needs, perhaps the inner child. And that also has an upside, a hidden spot, and a hidden spot that wants to emerge. And what we consider a good side and a bad side might shift. Like, there might be a part of you that thinks it's good that you have a sleeping part, because it doesn't really know how to act to the awakened part. And so you're going to have conversations where everyone accepts every other part of you. And those conversations go to where you acknowledge the strength and weakness of each part. And then you ask a simple question. How do we move towards wholeness and working together in this committee, this board within, this boardroom within? For many of you, the hidden powers is the key one. Who in your committee has the key to unlock the hidden power? The second strongest one that shows up in this group today is the one that propels the worry forward, that makes the worry bigger than the creation. And if you're worrying more than you're creating, you're not getting the job done. You're creating more worry. Who in your group holds on to debt? The one that knows who owes who, or as fearful of your own debt. We'll give love and acceptance to that part, because the more that part of you clings to debt, the more you're going to feel the effects of debt. If you cling to someone who owes you what they can't pay or won't pay at this point, you're not going to have the energy to create new clients. If you're keeping score on past betrayals and mistrusts, you're going to miss a lot of opportunity in life. It doesn't mean you forget about it. It's that you don't let it be the most important thing, that you're not creating around that reality. That you accept that someone owes you money or that somebody betrayed you, that is a truth, but then you move on. You don't have to close the door on ever getting paid again, but you realize that sometimes you're repaid through a different avenue. If you insist you must get the, you know, the blood out of the stone, it just might not happen, but you might spend an awful lot of time circling that stone. In the meantime, you may have created four or five other opportunities that would have fulfilled what you thought you were owed. And the reason is we're not able to create that step into the next level. We won't up level. We won't move up in how we create if we're clinging to the lower level. And not that there's anything wrong with knowing that someone owes you money, but it's how you handle that energetically. Accept it, know it, and allow something greater to show up. If you're in fear that no one will value your work, you're creating that over and over again. The self-worth of you will be influenced by feeling the memories of all the times that you were unvalued. And so the worth of what you produce actually will lower with that understanding, right? So that you've created a pattern, if you're replaying over and over, that people did not value your work, which means you've sort of given yourself a pay cut, right? You're not being able to generate what you need if you're in the memories of past betrayals and other people who did not value you. And the key to that is your own self-worth. And how could your worth really be less than if you're running divine energy through you? If you're in the flow, you know, that's priceless. And your value in the world is as strong as the value of a bird learning to fly. Makes mistakes, gets up, does it again, falls a little, and then eventually gets it. And that's who we are here on more levels, but that's what we're doing. It's all forgivable. There's an aspect of you that is lost in the hall of mirrors. We want to accept that, allow the unconditional love to be there, and collapse anything around it that holds it in that space. when we have hidden powers within that we've not acknowledged or let out of the basement, there's a reason for that. And it's because other people didn't value it. We didn't value it. We were afraid of it. Maybe it felt dense because it was so powerful and we rejected it. Let's breathe. There's a circular communication that happens within the pillars. You know, you can see this constant communication through them. And it also happens, back and forth. Like there's a lot of energy and communication going back and forth as it works together with you. Let's just stay and allow this energy to build, collapsing the barriers to your wholeness. Allowing new opportunities to rise for your empowerment and your ability to create. To forgive yourself for how you thought of money before and how you had it entwined with other people and ended up in an illusion of money. Each one has a unique purpose in their energy within the big grid of life or the big spider web of life. And each of you has the capacity to get more of that information, if not mentally, energetically, so that you can feel more confident in who you are and that you are valued. And that you're necessary. And as that energy streams or downloads, as we like to say, what is less than that will collapse, arise out of you. All right, so some of you may feel like you don't have the skills to do what you need or want, and I'm telling you, you do. Go ahead and ask the pillars to show you where that is, if not now, in the next few days. There's always a part of you that knows where you've been emotionally shut down or a place that you're hiding an emotion or feeling that needs to express. And there's no time like the present. So you can ask the part of you that does know to go ahead and show you where that is. There are some anchors that we have that we carry into emotional states that we can reset in the higher energy. And by the higher energy, what I really am talking about is a clear energy, a clear desire of what you want. So that could be making a certain amount of money. That could be feeling your purpose more completely. That could be shedding shame. Really, you know, having the exact energy to reverse that, to shift that. And so if you have one of those anchors that wants to rise, that's fine. Go ahead and reset that into the next field. I know that I'm feeling shame, but now I'm going to feel self-love for myself and acceptance for myself. I am who I am. And go ahead and place that anchor wherever you perceive it in energy around you. Generally, people see it kind of up above or close to them, and it doesn't matter as long as you have a clear sense that you've reset the energy. So, and if you don't have one you're going to reset that you want to create, you're more than welcome to create. So go ahead and set a goal. And each time you set a goal, you want to get closer and closer to something more resonant. Like perhaps maybe you thought you wanted to be a president of a company, but then you found out that it would be better if you did something different than that. Then you just reset. You just continue to refine and get things a little closer to where you're going. And there's no problem with this. You just keep resetting until you know yourself well enough that you know where you're going and what feels right to you. And it's normal to not feel right about it at all for a while. It's normal to go ahead and say, I think this is what I want. I need to be debt-free, or I need to, you know, make $10,000 a month or $20,000 a month or whatever it is. You're just going to place that in a knowing in your field. It could be that you're going to be attracting people who love working with you and you love working with. It could be that you find friends that you can trust. It could be that you find people who are similar to you in a certain category. It could be that you're going to meet new people in different categories. Whatever it is, go ahead and set those intentions. And the more the parts of yourself that are held within the pillars, the different aspects of your personal self, the more they're aligned to what that is, the faster you're going to create. So that's where you're, you know, having that conversation with these aspects of you, the part that has the hidden knowledge, the part that is the public face. The more that you have a sense of where everybody's in agreement, the faster it's going to happen for you. Now, if you're used to kind of bowling over your emotions to get things done, it may not seem faster because you have a little catch-up work to do on the emotional level. But I guarantee you, this is an important aspect of our next part of our human evolution. So might as well do that now. Okay, keep breathing. And let go of what you think you know. Sometimes we have a clear roadmap, and sometimes we have to let that roadmap go. All right, we're going to bring in another unconditional love, acceptance energy, just to help refine everyone right now. If we're afraid of losing everything and we've increased our energy, we're going to be attracting losing everything. So this would be a really good time to let go of fear around what you have and don't have. When you let go of the deep fears of having disaster strike you, you're going to have less resilience when you move forward. I hope you listened to the last call. I think we went into more detail with that on that. So I'm going to stay with this energy a little longer. I'm going to go silent, and then we'll take some questions. So what ahas or insights have I gained? I want you to take a little bit of an inventory there. And then when you do, ask what's my next best step. Okay, good. All right, guys, let's go ahead and see who's on the line today. All right, 343.
Hi, Sherry, it's Colleen.
Hey, Colleen, how are you?
Good. Better since I've been on the call. I've had the last couple of days, I have just been really in a terrible mood. I mean, I've been pretty nasty. And I haven't been feeling all that well. I had a really awful bout of diarrhea yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been waking up really grumpy and all, you know, and I don't know exactly what's going on or what's shifting in my body. And if you have any insight, I'd really appreciate it.
Okay, well, let's go to what's coming up for you. I'm going to push you here. So if you're in the pillars, okay. Where's the grouchiness coming from? What part of you is grouchy?
I don't know. It just seems like there's a block.
What's under the grouchy?
I'm just not real contented with myself, not my situation, but myself.
Frustrated?
Frustrated as to, because I'm in that in-between stage that I really can't do anything financially or that I don't need to right now, but financially and career-wise, because I have to wait till I get a work permit that probably won't come till
next year sometime. And I don't know. And I don't know exactly which way to go. I know I've got a lot of time on my hands that I could be doing some productive things. And I have the space, I have support, I have everything I need. And I'm just kind of zoning out. And that physically, I haven't been feeling really good. You know, I've been getting over this cough and cold, and I finally stopped coughing and then started a little bit. But I am feeling better, but I'm still having a hard time catching my breath, and I think I'm detoxing somewhat, too. That might be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been drinking a lot of water and just been really
okay,
struggling.
So what's under the frustration? What's under the frustration and the zoning out? It's under the zoning out.
That my life won't have any purpose? Does that make any sense?
Tell me about that more.
I guess I've always had such huge, big purposes and something to work towards. Now, of course, I can do. Now I've got the space to do things at the time and everything. And I'm just, I'm kind of at a loss to what I want to do where I can balance everything and still... You know, I kind of like the semi-retirement phase. I do like that.
Okay, so let's play this. So what if we shifted what you think purpose is? So, you know, so what if purpose was you align yourself in your divinity and you wake up all the sleeping beauty parts, right, so they can talk to the other parts, and every single day you ask, What's the next step for me to do today to work into my divine purpose? Because you're substituting this big visual potential and your place in it collectively and separating that from your personal. I mean, not that you're not doing it personally, but what if it flowed through you and you acted on purpose?
Okay. I see what you mean. I'm a little foggy on it,
So what if it was an individual, what was it, every individual motion was your purpose?
Ah, okay. Now I got it. Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
So it's about the energetic integrity that you put out there. And one day you might hear, you know, today I'm going to go volunteer here, or today I'm going to meet three people, or today I'm going to work on my website, or you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you're building with these tiny steps. You're forgetting all the little steps that get to the big step. And one, and because you're used to moving in big steps, I understand that. But if you honor each step, you're building kind of your stairway into the bigger purpose. And then you won't miss all the things that you appreciate along the way. Because when you're so focused on the big and feel frustrated you're not there, you're also missing the support crew and all of the appreciations that you get along the way. Everything to appreciate along the way, which builds strength.
Yes. Okay. That makes
How does that feel?
That feels really good. Really, really good.
How does it feel in your body?
I'm starting to breathe a little bit better. I think I've been holding my breath. And that's part of it. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so breathe deeply. And let that divine purpose be with you now. So this is the difference between actually living your talk, walking your talk, and a mental goal. And that mental goal is also based on a resonance, like you have big visions to go do things, but that's your mental part doing the work, which of course would frustrate your body and frustrate the channels of that hold that purpose together.
Okay, yes. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense, Sherry.
Okay, good.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Well, let me know how you do.
Okay. Thanks again for the program, too, and all of everybody, too, all the questions. And I listened. I wasn't on Wednesday night, but I listened to it. It was very powerful. So thank you.
Okay, good. Good. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. 530.
Is that me?
That's you.
Hi, it's Sunday.
Sunday, how are you?
I'm doing okay. So I'm glad you called on me because I have a question that sort of relates to what kind of led me to take your class in the first place. And
okay.
That is that feeling about there's a part of me that doesn't buy into the story, but there's definitely a chunk of me that does buy into the story that I'm too old to start anything new and, you know, it's all downhill from here and blah, 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 that kind of, you know,
mm-hmm.
old age story we have
mm-hmm.
going. And it ties mm-hmm. into me in a way that is resonant with this feeling I've had all my life that I'm behind and I'll never catch up. Or sometimes
right.
it's the flip side where I feel so far ahead that I can't connect.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think those are relatable.
Yeah.
Okay. It's funny, but the first one I feel like is the weakest for shifting this is I'm so far ahead that I can't relate. And I can see that because you have really adept energy and some really high, high levels. And it's not always fun to pull that all the way back into the body. Rewarding, but there's always resistance to taking that and taking it all the way to the body, the way that would be, when you're up there, you can't quite see it. So that part of you that's up there. So when you're looking at all the aspects of you, right? The one that thinks she's too old to buy in to do something new. The one that thinks you're always behind and can't catch up. And the part that is so far above you cannot relate. That too far, it's not, it's relating to your own body. And it's seeing purpose through the eyes of who you are now. So let's try this. There's lots of, so many ways to approach it. But let's try that since this shows up at the weakest one. Can you take just a little bit, because that's such a big energy you have way out there. Can you take just a grain of it, just an aspect of it? We don't have to swoop in all of it, but that part of you that exists up there, can we invite her into your being, whether it's in your body or close to your body, where she can see things from this point of view? Can you pull her down to this, to see life from your eyes? What does she see?
I'm not real visual, and a lot
okay.
of my visuals are abstract. So,
or what does she know? What does she feel?
It feels tentative.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like an exploration.
That sounds exciting a little, is it?
Somewhat, but I won't lie to you. There's that part of me saying, oh, you know, you're doing this rather late in life. It's the behind part.
But that's not her talking, is it? It's a different part?
No, that's not her. That's just
that is her?
No, that's not her.
Okay, so where does that voice come from?
the behind voice, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. From a very small, contracted part of myself.
Okay, let's love that part. Let's accept that small, contracted part of yourself. It feels left behind, right? She feels actually left behind.
That's right.
Okay. So she's left behind because we haven't known how to give her attention. So let's love her. So, of course, you know, the complaining parts of ourselves always, most of the time, have some wisdom in them. The mental is different, but this isn't a mental part. So let's love this part that feels left behind. So, of course, when they emerge, there's usually a cranky part that shows up or a fit of sorts. And then under it, there's some pretty good stuff. So I'm going to concentrate on the light that is her and all of her wise parts. And can you see her breathe? Can you get like where she contracts and like she would breathe, like she would expand and maybe contract a little and expand a little more? And give her a little space to have a voice. What do you notice about her?
She's hurt.
Okay.
She's also frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Because of being pent up for so long.
Mm-hmm. But the part of her that's timeless.
Oh.
At that part.
Very much about expansion.
Yeah. And how would her expansion affect your life?
Well, it feels as if it would provide a sort of substructure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Can you give her permission to have more space in your life?
Yes.
Okay. And I imagine there's quite a dance between these parts of you. You know, you have that quite refined part that's, you know, from a whole other universe. And then you have this part. And, you know, you have, of course, when you come from these places Sunday, you're going to have, the overlays. And the overlays might believe in age more than more normie humans would. Give yourself permission to believe that every day counts, and every day, you can, when you're in alignment, what you do in one day can count as 100 days or 100 years, you know, that exact alignment makes more difference than how much time. And continue to seek examples of that if you need to convince yourself of that. But I think you've had experiences in your life where you've taken huge steps in a short period of time, even though there's lots of time where nothing seemed to be happening. You can think of it as like a seed in the ground that suddenly, you know, catches fire and begins to grow, right? And there's some aspect of you that works the same way. Some part of you grows, and it makes the body actually more vital because there's no energy holding it back anymore or fighting with itself. So the more energy you reclaim, you know, as a way of working your inner resource, the more energy you reclaim for your life, you know, the more efficient you're going to be with the energy you have and the life span that you have, and you'll be able to do something with it. I believe that about you, Sunday.
Thank
I believe
you,
in your voice, in your talent, and what you came to do. I think you're just gathering more resources for that. If I can help you with anything else, just let me know.
That feels full for now. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Nine one seven.
Hi, Sherry. It's Steve. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
I'm really good, actually. So much of this resonates with me. But before I tell you what I'd like to work on, can I share some good news?
Yes, share good news.
I have an agent who's represented me for a couple of years. I get sporadic auditions. A lot of them went well. A couple didn't. One he heard about. I got negative feedback. And 2 years ago, I did a self-tape for him for a George Clooney movie, which he didn't like, directed by my coach. So Thursday, we taped another self-tape directed by a friend of mine who's a director and a coach, very close friend of mine. And I was nervous about it because he was going to see it. You know, I don't want to lose the big contact I have. So I handled all the nerves. I got brilliant direction from my friend. And my partner was there, and he contributed to the joy and of the whole thing. And yesterday I got an email from my agent which said, two notes, when you shoot from now on, shoot horizontally. And when you slate, which identifies yourself, give them your height. He said, outside of that, great job. And he went, ha ha, it was a comedy. So that was good. So, if it was Hamlet, I would be worried. So and this ties into what so much of this resonates with me and everybody in this incredible group, you know, which was like a chink in the armor that was holding me back. You know, and I felt so good, and it was so much joy, and I would say, let's do it again, and they would go, no, we don't have to do it again, you know, it's all there, don't do it again, just submit it, don't do it again, we don't want to see they didn't want to do it again. So my big thing is, I don't take action.
Yeah.
I'm part of a group I'm supposed to write a great cover letter. It's like 5 weeks late and start pursuing casting directors. And I think the next piece is that I presume I'm going to get shut down.
Or
shot down.
That's what you're feeling right now. The exuberance might get stilted. So you sort of awakened a renewal, so to speak, with your career, it sounds like to me.
Right.
It sounds like there's a renewal there. And of course, the part that's renewed has to have an opposite side that says, you know, you're going to get shut down.
Right.
And they do that just to keep you in line, you know, this voice of yours. And so let's go to that part that needs that.
Yes.
Usually that part doesn't want you wants to avoid pain. Is that what it is? The voice that is afraid you're going to get shut down.
That's part of it. I mean, I really had to thank you because until a few weeks ago, after what happened, which I went into earlier, a few months ago, all I wanted to do was give up. I prayed that I would give up. And there was, somehow that prayer was not answered. And now I've rediscovered my passion for it.
Yeah.
But I'm also very protective, you know, I mean,
yeah.
But, yeah.
So let's talk to that part that wants to avoid pain. Is it avoid pain mostly, or is it avoid pain and you really want a different direction?
No, I don't want a different direction.
I don't think so.
No.
Okay, so let's go to the part that wants to avoid pain, that wants to protect you. And so it sends you little messages like that one, like, you know, the shoe's going to drop, it's going to fall through. So let's go into that part and see how white
or
it's
no
protecting
one,
what it is.
Or
go
no
ahead.
One's going to like you, and you don't belong in big-time show business, and you're too old, and all of the above. I was so hurt from almost the moment I was born.
Yeah.
That I don't want to risk again being, and I love acting. And I don't want to be.
You don't want to risk, but you're in this risky kind of career, right? I mean, so you've done a good job with your risks. let's go to this part that has felt pain since you were born.
Okay, but I want to risk on a bigger level.
Okay, let's love this part.
Okay.
So
I keep hearing a message.
Go ahead. What's the message?
You had stupid parents.
They were evolving in a different way. Okay, so this part of you, let's love the part that wants to hold you back, to protect you from pain, and we're going to love all the aspects of that misguidedness.
Right.
It worked on some level, but now you're ready to play at a different level. So that needs to collapse. And the new consciousness that grows from that is we win some, we lose some, but we're going to keep winning. And the more we get out there, the more we'll win.
Yes.
You know, that's the whole fail forward thing. You know, the thing they teach every salesperson in the world. You have to act. You have to keep asking and moving in order to create something. So I see this part as just so afraid of being left behind. Also. Left behind seems to be a theme today. Okay, so let's love this part, that protector part that just doesn't know how to fit into that new big world you want.
I feel almost stupid for bringing this up, but this is part of it. I have a twin sister who, when we do not speak, but that isn't the issue. The issue is that growing up, she was smarter, she was stronger, great for a guy to experience. She was more successful. She was in the bright, we were in the same grade. She was in the bright class and I was in the in the dumb class. I don't know why I'm laughing. But it really is sort of like, you know, boy, I grew up in a cold cacophony of stupidity. So it's like the symphony of stupidity. They wrote it for me. They put it in front of me, and I did not see it. So, which was stupid of me. So, and I feel that relationship imprinted on my life that I am always going to be in the group that, or you know, in the group that tested the toothpaste that doesn't work. You know,
Okay. All right. But you can stop that. You know, that's a script that we can, you know, discard and we can write a new one. So you have a lot of comparison, right? You know, how do I compare? How do I stack up? And so this is, you know, you don't get to see your unique genius when you're too busy comparing.
Right.
And remember, Einstein wasn't like in the genius class when he was at school. He had some other stuff going on. And this is true for many people who have a genius that they haven't acknowledged yet. And you're one of those people. You have success, and you harm that success by continuing to compare. So we just, that part of you that needs to see how you're comparing, that part needs a lots of love from you too, because that unsteadies you. That knocks you off your center.
Einstein failed math, and so did I.
Okay. So promise me, Steve, you're going to love this part that needs to compare.
Yes. Yes, okay. I do.
So keep doing
him a lot.
Yeah, keep loving that one who doesn't know who you are except how you stack up to other people.
Yes.
Right? You want to use other people for an inspiration, not as a way to condemn yourself.
Wow. That could be costing every good job when I go into a room to audition.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
So you need to spend time with that part every day that felt so wounded by that, and love. Just let that love be there, and just the more you let the love flow, the more the genius will show up. The more the understanding of the uniqueness of your qualities will show up.
Now, I had a real unique picture this year of a lot of people who think they are the best at what they do, and they're not. It's all ego. You know, and it's all, and they're usually abusive or dumb, and
but that's their path.
Was, right, that's
their
path.
You're going to do a different one. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh wow. I'll do this every day. Thank you, Sherry. This has been the most rewarding month I have had in my life in a very long time.
Oh, Steve,
thank you.
I'm glad
from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a pleasure. Okay, Dan.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
I had some very interesting things. My dad seems like he's ready to go. One of my clients had dropped, and he's actually thinking of suicide himself. I'll tell you what, you talked today, things tied in today. I have this sense of resilience. I really do with all of it. It's not bringing me down. It's not, it's just something to handle.
Right, it is.
I wrote it last night to you, but I know that I didn't feel, I was just curious, going, it's interesting that's happening. I guess it's just life, but
it's life. Your response is paramount. So your dad has lived a wonderful life. You're going to have some good time with him at the end of his life. You have experience in losing people that you love. And you know how to walk this path. Losing a dad is a big deal. And so give yourself the time that you need. But there's some growth that will come from that too. And the clients, we win some, we lose some, and we create new ones. And just continue to move through that. It's not personal. People have their own path, and they do what they need to do. And your client that's suicidal, that's a whole different discussion. Well, let's stick with you right now.
Yeah.
And just hold this energy of just, you created him in the first place, you can create two more. And just continue to move into what worked. So congratulations, Dan. That's a wonderful success.
It is, yes. I thank you for that. And here's what came up during the talk too, Sherry, which was amazing. Okay, so when you said something about hidden powers and the committee, what happened was I'm in I'm standing in front of almost a table of six or seven men, they're people, and one of them lifts up a golden key.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just vague, I saw it. It was very quick, and I felt like I was inside a mountain, actually. And then I'm sitting with the key in my hand and the trees on my back, my source tree. it took me there,
Mm-hmm.
And so is there any insight here or help you can you know, with the next for hidden powers for me or something to
like stay with
there?
The hidden power. So the hidden power, your feeling showed you the key and took you to the tree, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's showing you, that tree really is your source, you know, that you've keyed into that tree in such a way that there's a secret power within that tree. And you just continue to be aware and notice and just go further with it. You don't have to make something happen. But the more you're in that tree, the more empowered and enriched and resilient you're going to be for your next steps. I think, I mean, personally, my own hit on it, you know, there's so much more to come as that strength develops that you can't quite see where you're going yet, because that strength is going to continue to develop. So I definitely give that attention each day. That I think that hidden power is a type of strength you haven't accepted about yourself yet. And in that strength is quite a bit of knowledge.
Agreed. I agree with that. And that's what I've been always, you know, all the work we've done, I've always just felt like going, where is that hidden power? Or, you know, just where is my source power inside me? And I know that there's a progression here. I can feel more strength. I mean, even compared to what happened yesterday, the resilience I had and the strength of just not, you know, knowing that it's all okay and it's all going to work out. But, I guess that's where I want to go. You know, into that spot. Remember the little boy last time, Sherry, that, you know, mm-hmm. we were integrating from the tree?
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot more energy. My knee pain went away. I feel more, you know, maybe it's that resilience, a part of that, you know. There's a whole part of me that feels a lot stronger because of that. Has he integrated, Sherry, by chance? Do you know for sure? I went back there and I feel like he's in.
Yes. Well, you've passed integration, synchronization, and you're in the synthesis part. So I think there's going to be a little bit more on those levels with that. But yeah, just keep going. It continues to grow within, and the consciousness expands and the evolution takes place. And you're able to really take advantage of that strength. It won't be a concept anymore. You'll be living it.
Okay.
Sort of like the difference between Colleen and how she saw purpose.
Yeah. So I remember that talk. Would it be a good thing now to do a session with you for those hidden powers to kind of start on that, you know, path right now?
Sure.
Is that okay?
Sure. I'm happy to do that. Yes.
Okay, well, I'll give you an email. I'll shoot you an email.
Okay, sounds good. All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Sherry. Uh-huh.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to Calgary. This looks like Chris.
Hi, Sherry. Great call on Wednesday. Great call today. I have a strange question. As I look to relocate and downsize, and as we look to the old earth and the new earth, I'm thinking you might be able to tell me best how to pack.
How to pack?
Talk about big changes coming, and my Aquarian ways are take the things that inspire me, and if I need some of the practical things, I'll get those when I get there. But if there is a huge change coming, do I need to focus more on some of those practical survival things than I might have in our current experience?
So expand how you think of inspiration. So definitely take the things you know inspire you.
Yeah.
And then see what you're inspired to take out of what you're calling the practical category.
Okay.
So just expand how you see inspiration.
Okay.
and that will become very clear. So you're moving from one end of Canada to the other, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're looking at. Well, I don't think I know more than you do about that. I think there's going to be a lot more precipitation and weather swings. So,
not in terms of kind of global changes that would affect our day-to-day lives in the next little while, kind of thing.
In the little while, I'm not sure the world's going to respond as fast, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, is there something in particular you're asking about?
No, not really. It's just I wouldn't be as frivolous if I thought I needed to be really practical about day-to-day survival kind of thing.
You know, I think you're going to be fine. I think we all just need to be prepared for whatever's happening next. We have a big refugee crisis right in California right now.
Yeah.
So it's a very new world here.
Yeah.
And I think you have all the skills you need, but definitely get some boots and coats.
Yeah.
Be prepared for whatever comes up, as I know you would.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Okay, let's see here. 9916. Hello.
Hi, Sherry. This is Sherry also.
Hi, Sherry also.
So this last session, it spoke a lot with addressing an issue that I've had, but I still need to explore it a bit more. So logically it seems kind of silly, but it's just been on my mind. So, and speaking of the public face, yesterday I was very, I'll say just frustrated and needing to complain and whatever. And I did so at work with somebody I don't know that well, and I cannot stop worrying about it. So all this that you're talking about, I'm worrying about it a little less, but I have like shame, I have embarrassment. All this came up just from this conversation when I think I should have just been, you know, more discreet and kept my public face on. Yeah.
Right.
And I haven't been able to let it go. It happened yesterday, and I'm still thinking about it. It's better now, but anyhow, I'd like some guidance with that or help with that.
I have a formula for this sort of occurrence. And what often works is if there's going to be blowback, just keep lifting yourself up. And so we go to where we neutralize the shame, the embarrassment, the fear, and continue to lift. So let's keep lifting you. You know, when I look inside that ball of energy, tell me if this feels right. It feels like a younger part of yourself that just was trying to do the right thing and got confused and wants things to be different. Like she was, you know, was a little acting out, but mostly just seeking a better resolution somewhere. Can you tell me about that part? Yeah. So that part we love and lift her, and then the rest kind of resolves more easily. You know, the energy, the emotion around her. And so we lift her and then put her in a happy space. So put her wherever she needs to be. So does she need to be with ponies, a unicorn, a playground, you know, on her throne, whatever it is, put her where she can be comfortable. Because she's the one that's going to, you know, attract what happens next. So the more pleased she is, the less there's going to be a blowback that can hit, generally. I've had really good success with this technique.
Okay, so...
I don't guarantee it, but I have a pretty good... So just keep lifting the part that was involved with it, and then they won't be able to see, you know, you won't be at... there's no target left once you lift her. Do you see what I mean? You've lifted her out of that plane that she was playing in, so nothing can touch her. So keep lifting her. I don't mean send her out of your body, but the consciousness of her. Keep lifting her.
So I'm sorry to be so literal, but I don't quite. So by lifting her, what I'm interpreting that is just like holding her in a space where like you're saying, where she's happy or where she's feeling supported. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Or something else?
That absolutely. And where she's actually on vacation from worrying about this. So just continue to work that. And then you want to hit both levels. So you're talking about supporting her in that level that will heal her, the loving acceptance for, you know, that part of her that needed, you know, to speak out and, you know, and do what she needed to do. And then you also want to take her to a place where she's not really in your operating system. And that doesn't mean outside your body, but you're lifting her consciousness. So when the pendulum swings, which pendulums swing, there's no place for it to catch because she's not there.
Okay, I'm still not getting that part.
She's not living in that vibration that she created in.
Okay.
So anytime you lift out of a place, so that's what I mean by lift. So the consciousness that created it shifts. Mm-hmm. And when the consciousness that created it shifts, it's going to not be there for any cause and effect. It's lifted out of cause and effect.
Okay.
Is that clearer?
I think so, yeah. So, but I don't know how. So
let's start with loving her. Let's just do this with you. So anybody on the call who has a part that needs loving, just love that part. We'll all do it together. So she was freaked out. So let's love the part of her that was freaked out. She was scared and frustrated. She felt like she's in a toxic environment. Is something like that correct?
That's absolutely correct.
Okay, so she's trying to get a resolution. And she doesn't care how that comes about. So let's love her, the part that just needs a resolution. Yeah, so she needs to have a conversation. You know how we were talking earlier with other parts of ourselves? She needs to have a little bit of a conversation with the part of you who is looking for other opportunities, right? Because she doesn't believe in it yet.
So you
want to get her support in that.
I see. Okay.
Does that help?
I think
so,
yeah.
It's okay if it doesn't. Okay, so let's see, what else is there? There's a hesitancy that these parts of you are holding on to, and you want to just love through the hesitancy. That's a little bit like, don't dream too big kind of energy. So just love that hesitant, that part. That doesn't really believe in a change. It's like you see it for other people, but not necessarily yourself. All right, do you go numb in that, Sherry?
I know, I was just thinking, I don't even know if I go numb or not. I have some tears in my eyes, so I probably wasn't really
No,
numb.
That's not numb. Okay, good. Okay, so keep loving that part that doesn't quite believe in herself yet, that lost her belief. I mean, So when I see your energy, I think you did believe in yourself at some point. You may have not known how far you could go, but, you know, it's time to revisit those moments and love every moment that coulda, woulda, shoulda, you know, the one that almost went a little further, almost made a different decision. And you want to make peace with all those moments in your life because those are anchors that will hold you into that hesitancy. And so you want to get, so this is how you get neutral to your past so you can create a better future. And so all those, because they'll just hold you back. They'll just make it more difficult. It won't be as smooth anyway. You can do it, but it won't be as easy of a creation. So the moment that you almost took, you know, door A or door B and something different happened, you want to love that part, that woman who made those choices. You want to love her completely and support her with that. And that will give her freedom to make a different choice on a different level or vibration. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. The part that
okay.
I read your email, but I still not quite understanding the anchor, the concept of
okay.
the anchor.
Okay. So that's an emotional anchor. So, so something happens to you and, okay, let's say, what's an emotional anchor? Okay, every guy I get together with cheats on me. That could be an emotional anchor for people, for a woman. So every husband or boyfriend she gets is incapable of being faithful. And that becomes an anchor. It's happened two or three times now. It's a pattern. And the more... And she becomes fearful that no guy will ever be faithful. She begins to think less of herself and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because now she thinks it so often and she feels it so often that she doesn't know how to get in a place where she can meet someone who would be faithful to her. Does that make sense? So they're like little pockets of how we self-poison ourselves over and over again. So the more we love in that, we're able to reset that. So the reset of that example would be loving someone who loves you just as much and is as faithful to you as you are to them. And so part, just to take that one step further, is sometimes in that situation, that one situation, which I know we're not personally talking about you at this moment, is the faithfulness within, to be faithful to all the voices within ourselves and to love them so they can be one voice. Does that make sense? So that's how you are with a career. Okay. And feel free to send. I know you're kind of new to all this, so to
yeah,
this
yeah.
work. And I kind of go fast sometimes. So just send me an email if anything that isn't very clear. But keep loving that part that, you know, that felt that way when you were talking. And just embrace her. Don't shame her more. Just keep loving her for needing to make some change. She's just desperate for some change, and she doesn't believe in it yet.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. 804.
Hi, Sherry. This is Betty. How are you?
I'm good, Betty. How are you?
Good, good. Well, I'm deciding I'm going to be good. I wanted to tell you a couple things. I wanted to tell you some shifts that I've had, and I also wanted to ask for your help with some pain I'm having. So, what should I start with? What's the best thing for me to start with? Would you say?
Start with the good news. That'll support what you're changing.
Okay. Okay. That sounds good. Well, I wanted to tell you I've had quite a lot of shifts lately, and just in the last week or so. And I mean, I'm feeling much more empowered and resilient. And I did some I've kind of explored some different healing techniques, and I've got myself sleeping again just this week, mm-hmm. and I'm so excited about that.
That's and, amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, my gosh, it's just been a crazy thing before, and it just really changes things. And I had talked to you a while back about it was a sort of a healer's reunion, and
mm-hmm.
I decided to go, and it was just, it was fantastic. I had originally been hesitant to see certain people. I felt like I had all my energy. I felt like I was in my power. I had different reactions from them, and it was really, really great. And I talked differently in the meeting, and you know, and we were practicing different healing techniques. And initially, something had popped in my head before I went, like, you haven't done some of this for a while. You're not going to be able to do that if they want you to practice in this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went right for it. I thought, well, what the heck? I did this for my mother, and I wasn't formally trained initially when I was doing healing. I just felt it innately, and it worked. And so I know that's within me, and I'm okay. You know, maybe I'm not going to do it perfect, but it'll be okay. And I just went ahead with it, and it was very positive. And the teacher is going to teach us different, like, advanced techniques, and there's all kinds of different things he wants to do that normally they don't do. And I thought, I'm going to embrace as much as, you know, what feels good to me. And then I also made a decision that I know that I'm going to deviate from this. This is not
mm-hmm.
just the straight and narrow, and I'm fine with that. It's like maybe
mm-hmm.
the rest of them want to do it just that, but that's something I thought I might talk to you on an individual call with, because, you know, about that, because I think you had told me that I was attuned to something higher than Reiki, and so, you know, and that's really, I've done other things, but I've only been certified in Reiki. And so
okay.
that's something I, you know, and, but it just felt so good. It was like the best experience, and I didn't feel like drained, like that, you know, that drain of the empath where you just
right.
all, you take in everybody's energy, and then you're, you know, they
right.
feel good and you feel lousy. And it
right.
was just, it was so good. And I felt really empowered, and just a few things have been happening like that where I feel, you know, in the outer world, I feel a much stronger. And I want to thank you so much for this all of your support, you know, in everything, and in this venture with all your daily emails and everything. It's just been fantastic. That's been so helpful.
Okay,
really
thank
has.
You. Good.
Yeah, and what happened is that, like, pretty soon before the call, I started getting a bad migraine, and that's why I decided it kept nagging at me I knew I needed to just talk to you, because
What's the pain level on it?
I would say now it's probably like a 5, maybe 6.
Okay.
I should say 6. It was higher,
okay.
but it's a little down. Yeah.
Okay.
And I was kind of running around, and I know in one of the calls that I talked to you about in this particular course was about forgiveness for my brother, and that would
mm-hmm.
free a lot for me for prosperity. And I've been working on that a lot. And I mean, there's other aspects of forgiveness with my brother on other things, but I'm working on this part, because I have always been a very forgiving person, and I have forgiven him repeatedly, you know, and until something else comes up, and so with him. But because we're estranged right now, I think the whole thing with, you know, the holidays, and I know a lot of people have to be feeling this.
Yeah.
I'm not saying yeah. I'm, you know, I'm the only one, and especially on this call, but I was so determined to have this really great Thanksgiving, even though it's you know, it's not really a family thing, but it's my family, my boyfriend and me, but I almost kind of stress about it, and then I get sentimental and I think, oh wow, I'd love to talk to my brother, or I'd love to, you know, and I'm remembering my brother when he was different, a different person,
yeah,
like decades ago. That's where I'm getting the sentimental part.
Yeah, Betty, so yeah, this is part of you. This is part of you that sees the best and remembers the best in everyone. And just like you wouldn't marry someone just based on what their potential could be, some part mm-hmm. of you, in, you know, knows the potential of your brother and what you wish he was. And so that's mm-hmm. that part of you is a divine part of you. So mm-hmm. forgiveness isn't about them changing. It's you changing mm-hmm. your future, right? It's mm-hmm. when you forgive your past and your part in it, and that's probably going to be believing in him, believing he would act a certain way. And then when we start getting resentful of, you know, the actions someone took, and especially if they have more money, sometimes we link the two, and to not like him also means we don't like money. And so, you know, forgiving yourself on those levels for you. So just concentrate on forgiving yourself for your participation in events that happened with your brother more than, oh, I give you a get out of free jail card. You know, that's not really forgiveness.
Right.
That's something different. So forgiveness is when you're unlocking a pattern you have with someone that keeps you in prison, that keeps you from being free energetically. And so when you love that part of yourself that was naive and thought he should act a certain way or thought he would follow those same mm-hmm. values, you know, that's a divine part mm-hmm. of you that mm-hmm. thought that, but then you acted on it. So that divine part of you, you probably in your pillar somewhere, there is a practical part of you that knows, you know, that trust is something that's built. And between you and your brother, there's been quite a bit that's been destroyed. And so that would have to mm-hmm. start over, and it probably needs to start from him, actually. I mean, mm-hmm. other than letters or however. But it's not, as you forgive yourself, you give permission for their energy to shift. He will be as locked as you are as long as you haven't finished that work. You know, you want to finish that work with yourself, uh-huh. and that frees you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
We have a very
yeah.
unusual way of thinking of forgiveness, because as little kids, we're told, forgive that person, say you're sorry, you know, all those things.
Yeah.
But that
yeah.
isn't really the right. energetic thing behind it, because that becomes an anchor, right? He becomes an anchor to you. But
mm-hmm.
let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Do you have a place that you can start with that? With your brother?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes, yeah, I can see exactly what you're saying, where I have seen something different, and I have really, I've expected him to act as a, you know, with brotherly love, per se, really,
uh-huh.
and it, you know, and I, yeah, and I can see where I just went for it, you know, because in the past, I've been a little too open and trusting, and, you
right,
know,
right.
I don't want to block that, though. I don't want, yeah.
Would you say your brother's really good at self-preservation?
Yeah.
Okay. So some part mm-hmm. of you also has self-preservation. So the mm-hmm. more that you resent him for his self-preservation, the more you deny yourself your own.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Boy, that's a big one.
Yeah. That's a bumper sticker.
Yeah. yeah. It is. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so you want to get into that part of you, because that resents and locks up your own self-preservation. And watching how he misused his.
Okay. And that makes sense. Yeah. Wow. And
okay.
that sentimental part is just kind of that's just back to an ideal, like the ideal brother, the brother that I must remember when I was a teenager or something. I feel like that's really where my...
Well, he has part of that. He's just not using that part. That part's, you know, we're talking about Sleeping Beauty in the beginning. That part of him in your life, maybe not in other people, but in your relationship, that part's asleep. Yours is overactive and his part's asleep. So with you, it might be awake for other people, but with you, it's asleep. So you're going to balance out your part that doesn't see everything, that's in denial of his overcharged self-preservation, no matter who he burns, right? And you're going to start respecting and loving and appreciating your own self-preservation.
Okay.
And then the third part here is the over-worry part that worries about all these scenarios. And so that you can, just like we worried the worry balloon, you can just keep letting that go. And that'll give more space between the self-preservation and the one who sees the best in everyone and what brotherly love could be.
Okay.
Thank you, Betty.
Thank you so much. Thanks a lot, Sherry. Lots of love to you and everybody.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Raquel, how are you?
Good. Hello, Sherry.
Hi.
Hi. I wanted to check in. I was listening to both of the calls on Wednesday and today, and one of the things that came up is trust. And so I have sort of looking at it at an overview and just seeing how the habits within me keep sort of circling around me, and I realize, oh, it's due to trust.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to grow, and it's hard to not to be bigger and play a different game and make a lot of these changes, and also just have access to my own information when I feel like the parts of me are working so hard to protect me.
And doing a great job.
Right, yes, they're doing a great job. but of course, you know, as I work on shifting that and, you know, bringing more love and just listening to what they have to say and helping guide them in ways to maybe see a different picture and a different story. It's a hard one because there are points in my life when I stayed out loud. I trust the process of the universe and the world. But day to day, it is definitely, it doesn't show up. And, you know, sometimes I think I am. So maybe in one area it's strong. And then in other areas it's, holding on for dear life or just distracting me or doing, you know, all the different things that come up with in regards to trust. And so I'm just looking for ways to work with myself, with the pillars, whatever resources are out there to connect and align to, and I guess, you know, like part of me, I want to see it immediately and just sort of help it along. Like, I guess, you know, there's so many things that are sort of in the shadow and darkness that are just underlying, and it takes a while for them to be revealed, which is fine because, you know, it would be overwhelming all at once. But, yeah.
And this is about the trust.
About trust. Yeah.
The part that you doesn't trust yourself. And she's confused, right? She's twisted a little.
Mm-hmm.
Compressed and twisted. What is in there? She's she doesn't feel free.
Hmm.
Can you give her freedom? Well, one level is how much she's had to conform and
yeah.
not speak about her distrust. So she had to hold that back in polite society.
You know, it's interesting when you said give her freedom, I was like, oh, you got, oh, what does freedom look like? And so it took me within. So it's that freedom within to, again, say, speak, imagine whatever within, and that
mm-hmm.
created some space, definitely,
right.
versus looking for it first on the outside, look for it first on the inside.
Right, right. Yeah, she needs equal voice to the other aspects. You know, earlier when we were putting all of our, assigning all of our aspects, pillars or letting
yeah.
them find the one that would best work with them so they could all have an equal voice. She deserves an equal standing there. You know, even if she's skeptical and difficult and doesn't trust anyone, much less herself, she's got, you know, she has things to say, but their support, the part of you that loves unconditionally is very supportive of her. And in fact, that feels to me like that's where there's going to be a lot of progress for both parts of you. The part that loves unconditionally will open up more ability there, but also the part that doesn't trust at all is going to have a place to express all the things she had to be quiet about that she didn't trust. And she was quiet so much there wasn't a way for her to build trust. You know, to be
yeah.
trusted or feel trusted because she had to be mute.
Oh, yeah, I sense that.
And there's also something in the ancestry with this. It actually feels like more on the male side where they didn't have voice. Or they had to lie in order to be true to themselves. That's about 35% of it on that level, on the ancestral, where they had to lie to be true to themselves. And how that was a way to not be faithful to themselves. How that
yeah.
sort of ate at them a bit.
Right.
In order to get along. So there, you've got something in there that you've come to expose or express or shift within yourself that shifts collectively and ancestrally.
Okay, yeah.
That's a big one.
That is a big one. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh,
that resonates
that
with many people on the call. How many times
yeah.
did I have to lie in order to be true to myself? That's beautiful. Let me know how you do with that.
Yes. Thank you, Sherry. We'll do.
Okay.
Bye.
You're welcome. Bye. Okay, let's go to San Diego, 619.
Hi, Sherry. It's Gail. How are you?
Gail, how are you?
I'm good. I went to New Jersey for a week, and I was very proud of myself. It wasn't perfect, but it was a good trip.
Good.
I have a question about my skin again. A comment that you made on the last time I asked about it, I don't know if I'm remembering it correctly, but it was something about the skin is part of keeping people away or pushing it, you know, letting that people get too close or something
mm-hmm.
about that too. I'm noticing now, like the legs are better, but when anything kind of goes sideways, that's when I claw and sometimes bleed. But the upper body is pretty, I mean, I kind of need to wear a turtleneck or not cover arms and legs and everything. and I'm not quite understanding. It seems like it's almost a distraction when there's something that comes up. Where am I with the pushing people away, letting them not get too close, and it maybe not being comfortable in my skin? I feel like I'm making tons of progress, but there's mm-hmm. still something that's not right with it.
Yeah. So there's, you know, when something sideways happens, it just brings up the memories of having to self-protect and take care of. So let's strengthen your relation. So you've made progress. So let's strengthen the progress in all the places where you're in doubt of the progress. And you're highly attuned. So I think there's a like an electrical charge outside your skin to try to push. And I just want to push that out even further. So it's not so strong right around your skin. Just let that grow.
What does that mean to have the charge right around
your skin? Expand your field. There's electrical charge right around your skin. Just let that uh-huh. expand out like you were growing your aura.
Okay.
All right. So let's see. The skin feels more like it can breathe there. I'm sorry, what?
No matter what I put on it, no matter how clean, pure, whatever, it irritates it.
Oh, so you are getting irritated. Okay.
Yeah, it's it.
So 50% of it is the skin is irritated by everything it's forced to put up with every day. So, and that would be the extra job of protecting you from other people and in an emotional way, more than how most people don't have that wiring in their skin, but people are like getting under your skin. And so let's go ahead and clear all the emotion within the skin that you're holding, letting that go. So when you work with your skin, when you hold your skin or acknowledge your skin, acknowledge everything it does for you, that skin does. It breathes for you. It's the biggest organ. Thank it for that. And then let's delete all the programs in your skin that irritate it, that have to do with protecting you and worrying about, it's almost like it reacts to the psychic level of other people. So let's delete all of that program to hold that. And if you got that information several feet from your body rather than in your skin, it would be healthier.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so when you meditate or you're doing energy work, besides loving your skin for the reasons that your skin is good for you, see that irritation just completely release from the skin. Just go out of the body, expand out. And part of that irritation is your psychic field, the psychic pickup that you're getting from other people. And it's just sitting in there and irritating. It's looking a little better. Let me know how that goes, Gail.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
And congratulations on your trip.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Let's see. See if I've got this right. 360.
That'd be me.
Hi.
Gail. Hi.
Hi, Gail. Hi.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
When you were doing the tree meditation, I was like,
okay,
I have this tree in my yard and I always go to it. So it was like, oh, now I get to go inside my tree. I'm in this tree all the time. And then I do the gold bowl thing, and one day it came to me, and I was just like, I am love, and love is me. So then the next time the gold bowl came, there's two things that came up, intolerance and blocks. And last night, I kind of lost it because I'm frustrated because I think of these blocks. It's like every time I try to do something or think something, it's like these blocks. And I don't know if it's one big, huge block that comes from ancestrals on both sides of my family. And I'm getting a yes. And so it's like, how do I clear these blocks? And I keep trying to clear them, but it's like, there's like they're locked up somehow that I can't clear it. And then there's another part of me dealing with intolerance of people that are overdramatic, trying to get attention, and you help them out, and then they turn around and they become overdramatic again. It's almost like they get their power off of being dramatic. So I get to the point where I become intolerant, and it's like I become irritable, and I want to deal with them.
Is it intolerance or boundary?
I think it's boundaries.
Okay. So let's go to your bowl. And so if we have the intolerance, what you think, you know, where you've interpreted intolerance and boundary, it's perfectly okay to be intolerant of a behavior and then create a boundary and just realize when help is not help, when help is supporting something that just feeds off someone, you know, in a unhealthy way. So let's go to all these, everything, just put everything in the bowl. And I think this is where your answer of the boundary of the, what you're calling the block is. And you have, here's a key for you. You have had drama in your own life that you've either suppressed or, you know, probably another life where things were super dramatic for you, and you, how you expressed that. So can you go to that time and space for me and tell me how that expressed the drama that you were in your life? Not a made-up drama, but just a dramatic life.
Well, the drama.
Pattern, Gail?
I see the pattern, but it's like I lived the drama.
Right, you did live
but
the drama.
But it wasn't my drama. If it was a drama, if I created any drama, it was suppressed. It was like you are not
right,
allowed
okay.
to.
That's what I got. So you had the you had to suppress a drama in this. So you had the pattern of suppressing your own drama. So you have compassion for someone involved in a drama. But there's a little confusion when it's expressed. So some people, here's another clue. Some people suppress their reaction to the drama. So you know that well. Some people, when they have a little bit of drama, it could be like a splinter in their hand. Your drama might be, you know, a gunshot wound, something very different, something that seems like it might. So there's a little bit of, so whatever brings the drama, it doesn't matter how big it is. Some people can be even more upset and more traumatized by much lower levels of events than other people. And that's because of how we run drama and trauma in our life. So let me go back to this part of you that is confused by people that keep circling the drain. And I don't mean a downward spiral here. I mean going back to their drama, going back and repeating, getting enough energy to repeat the drama. And what's happening is they're like in a, you know, have you seen a horse go around in a corral, just around and around in a circle? And there's no way out. They know the pattern for them is not suppression. Their pattern is to repeat the circle over and over and over again and not be able to find their way out. And that's all they know. Their pattern is to repeat.
Well,
so
I don't
want to
be part of the pattern. That's the problem.
That's right. That's right.
I'm climbing the fence. I don't want to be in the crowd.
I bring this up because you're being challenged to have just a bit more understanding of why that happens. And it's perfectly okay if you don't want anything to do with it. But that's why it happens. There's another wound under the drama they're talking about that hasn't been addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
That's part of your key. So I'm going to leave you with your key in your basket and your
okay.
intolerance of it, or your sense of boundary that, you know what, that's not my thing. I'm just going to work with people who suppress their trauma. I know that one well. That's where my level of expertise is. You have choices here. And so just sort of let that all be in your basket for a little bit, Gail, and I think you're going to get some more insights that come up from this for yourself.
Okay. So what
and
about
more self-love, too. I think the blockage
yeah.
is part of the difference between intolerance and boundary and choice.
Okay.
So if you just look at all of that, your whole field washes clear when you see how much is there. So tell me, do you see blockages right now?
No, but I'm
okay.
always, the other thing is I'm always working with the pillars. The pillars
uh-huh.
are always around me. I have at least
good.
7 going. And the other
all
five,
right.
I like, it's like, okay, they're there for major stuff. You know,
yeah.
major stuff. But the other 7 are always around me. Always.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I feel this light always inside me, outside me. So when you're talking about the blockages and the intolerance and boundaries, I know where I need to go.
All right. That's great. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for your help.
Thank you, Gail. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. 510.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Johanna. How are
you? Hi, Johanna.
Hi. So I was wondering, I wanted a little, the two, whether it's, you said that those of us on the call, sort of the two, whether it's the worry or something, you know, what was the first thing you said? Sort of dominating
mm-hmm.
the block. So I just wanted to have a little assistance because I am wondering whether it's the, you know, I'm in this place of a lot of worry, although I think I'm doing a lot better at it than I have before. I don't
mm-hmm.
know. I kind of like a help gauging because sometimes I lose my confidence in knowing if I'm doing a better job of managing
mm-hmm.
that sort of that anxiety, whether it's with work and the money, my own personal money, my daughter's health.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I feel like I worry about being there's such an interesting irresponsibility. I don't know
mm-hmm.
how to formulate that, but because I want to stay out of a place of worry, and so sort of a trusting things are going to work out if I'm in.
Right.
And then at the same time, I kind of then go into a little cycle of, but that's not responsible, and look at the reality and. Then I
sure.
go through that cycle.
So if we use worry as a way to adjust our path or be responsible, then you know, I think the challenge is to shift how we stay practical with ourselves and how we stay grounded with ourselves and how we stay open to our next step. But we can let worry go because worry is kind of an indicator something else is going on. And but we can make worry so big that we don't have room to create anything new. So I think you can reduce your worry to a 2% zone if you'd like, but I think you're much better
mm-hmm.
with worry and anxiety, actually. I think there's just
mm-hmm.
a fear, and that fear may be exactly what you're talking about. on am I going to do all the right things? Am I going to, you know, be irresponsible? And so that that voice in the pillars that we were talking about earlier, the voice that, you know, what, you know, that one gets aligned with the one who is giving up worry, and then also the one who knows how to get the answers every single day. So all those voices together in the pillars and give them all equal time. Each has a strength, each has a weakness. So let's go to the one who's afraid you're not being responsible. What's the strength?
I'm not quite sure I'm following the strength of not being
of that point of view. Yeah, that point of view. Oh. How does it strengthen you to remind you that maybe you're not being responsible?
Just keeps it front and center on the radar.
Front and center on the radar.
What
yeah.
needs
keep your hand.
What needs
yeah.
to be done.
Yeah. Keep. Yeah, exactly. The front and center person. And what's the weakness of the front and center voice?
That it can, it just gets hyper.
Yeah, keeps you dancing on a
hyper
hot plate.
Hyper tuned in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so what part of you, can... that balances that out. What's the learning? What part? There's another part of you that has the other side.
Well, the pacing and timing, planning. I don't know.
So there is a part of you that has the pacing and planning, or is that the same? Is that a different voice? Do you think?
I mean, it's a bit of a different voice. The woman who spoke earlier about that balancing of feeling always behind and overwhelmed and never able to catch up, and also
right.
way far ahead and seeing stuff. I mean, that
yeah.
I'm really resonating with that dilemma of
right.
of feeling that. And so I think what I do is have a hard time filtering when to place things and what time, and sometimes when something. So it's time. It's how to ground when I'm seeing that big picture. I don't know if that makes sense.
Right. You feel successful, Johanna, when you're in that big picture. That's when you know success. That's when you get a lot of juice. You're probably
right.
downloading a lot of energy when you're there, which is important for you. I think you'd feel blind if you didn't have that.
Correct.
Right. But we're going to take that energy and we're going to get it workable, more workable with the part of you that knows the next step in this time and place.
Okay. So you're saying that there's an element inside of the pillars. There's one of or all the pillars help me know when that, what is that right next step, and then the next right step.
That's exactly right. So that's where you want to get. You want to get all these voices working together. In fact, you might even call forth the one that knows that in that deep intuition that knows what is next in this time, space, and continuum that you're living, knowing that you have the great picture, the great big picture and energy downloads, knowing that this other part has time constraints on you and you know, is very practical, you know, knowing all the pieces of your puzzle are part of your wholeness, and each one has a strength and weakness. Now, the true part of yourself, the one who knows your very next step, that's the one you want to integrate with the one who's thinking you're not being responsible. And you want to work there with that unconditional love. The part because some part of you beats yourself up quite a bit.
Uh huh.
And kind of a self punishment, and so letting that love in the one who's telling you to be practical, and you can't really let go of worry. So some part of you is kind of addicted to being on the hot plate, dancing around in hypertension.
And why is that? Yeah, why?
Because it feels really alive. It feels on the edge. It feels very purposeful. And is it the first time you've created this, or did it happen another time where you're on the edge like this?
Well, no, this edge in my, I mean, there are definitely other points throughout my life for sure, but this particular edge has now been going a couple years at my job.
Yeah. It's the risk and reward feels right to you. But you're having to balance the risk and reward that feels right to you with your health and the finances. So you're gonna continue to balance every single day. And each one of these parts, the part that, you know, that brings one message and the part that brings love and the part that knows the right thing, each one can contribute every single day to, you know, how are you going? What is your contribution to this? How can you assist me in hearing that voice of what's the right thing today? What's my very best step today? Can you get them all to talk to you that way?
Don't feel it yet, but I think I should be able to.
Let's practice with one. Let's practice with the one who tells you you're not being practical. Ask how it can assist you in hearing getting that roadmap of what you're supposed to do in each day. What's the right thing to do in each day? Ask it how it can help.
Well, first thing is just make sure I ask.
Okay. So that's a good job for it. So when its alarm bells go off, it can help you with getting in there and not substituting that practical step for the very big, big picture you have. They're both important to who you are as a person and a being. But that practical step, which may not be practical at all. I mean, what you might hear may not come into practicality, but that gets you centered in who and where you are now and what your mission is.
Mm-hmm.
You'll know that voice will tell you if a shift needs to happen. The worry isn't going to tell you.
Okay. Worry is not
so
going to tell me.
Trusting that deeper place.
Okay. I've really been appreciating your 5-minute wake up pillar one.
Oh, good.
When I don't have the time, you know, it just helps. Each day, because there is a little couple times I've used it in the middle of a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the other piece that I've, you know, came into this, you know, journey class with you on was with my daughter. And so I just wanted to share one more thing and see. There's just it feels to me like the way the pillars are showing up for her is revealing kind of in every few days or a week, sort of a new revelation of something she hasn't known. So just the other night, she realized how much pain she was telling me that she was in since she can remember in kindergarten writing, like her hand mm-hmm. was always in pain. So all the note-taking she did at school, and she just did that other level and having a hard time because my husband and some of the people I tell have just can't believe how and sort of think that maybe she's making it up. But when she tells me, I know that it seems so true. And I guess my question is, I'm having a really hard time as a mom realizing that my daughter was in so much pain, has been mm-hmm. for her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And I never saw it. I never knew it. I feel really responsible.
You feel responsible.
I feel like I didn't see something. Yeah.
That's
why I doubt my own ability to have a radar, have a tuning, have a knowing.
Mm-hmm. I'm loving that part of you that feels responsible and in doubt. I hope you love that part too.
Yeah, sending your love.
Yeah. So, in our little inner committee, one of the members of your inner committee is how to be a mom. You know, what a mom is. And that doesn't mean that she was a bad mom. It just means that she didn't see or sense something that the daughter was going to talk about later. And so moms are growing and your intuition is growing. It doesn't mean you even missed anything, because your daughter reveals what she can reveal when she can reveal it. So this is also an example of her unique timing and her unique understanding of who she is and how to express it.
Yeah, she feels a lot of sadness and anger, like realizing that because nobody else around her was talking about it, she felt like she couldn't complain. And while she was expressing all of this deep revelation and emotion the other night, I just found myself saying, you know, it speaks to a part of you that's actually pretty amazingly resilient and strong and kind of, there's a lot of really amazing qualities that allowed you to kind of persevere and get through.
Yeah.
Sort of manage, even though you were experiencing so much pain.
Well, what a beautiful way to communicate with your daughter.
That did feel like I was getting very... Anyway.
You're accepting, you're learning to accept. And as you do, there'll be less resistance to solutions and resolutions, right? Because when we're in resistance to what's there, we can't even see solutions when they show up. In some ways, whatever was going on with your daughter was in resistance to what was going on because other people didn't see it. She resisted it too. So she's getting a sense of her own voice and the way she's expressing how she sees what her, you know, what was going on in her life.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and strengthen you. So I feel like in your life, there's like a big wave that's washed over you. And there's going to be a clearing of a lot of this emotion and reaction. And it'll come into an acceptance, which will strengthen all of you. All of you. Take a big breath for me. There's a part of you that is constantly monitoring and judging you. And you want to bring her in to the pillars too, where the part that needs to monitor, judge, and let you know how you're doing and how you're not living up. So that part definitely needs some attention. And she probably feels, this is a possibility, let me know if this is true, she probably feels that if she doesn't keep the train running on time, you know, that everything's just doomed. And so keep loving this part of yourself and just love her free, because there's something quite remarkable under the parts that persecute us and need us to be more perfect, you know. And there's usually a gift within that they don't know how, that part of ourself that's judging so much, there's usually a gift inside that it just doesn't have room for expression yet. And that's what's coming to the surface.
Okay.
How are you doing?
I'm super emotional, but I'm feeling like I'm releasing and loving.
Good.
And I guess that, yeah, that part of that me that whatever part needs that, being on the sort of everything, being in this place of, you were calling it hyper jumping, you know, on,
mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, I know that it's showing up in my outside world because it's still in me. And how do I get to that part in me to let it know it doesn't need to be that way anymore? I definitely keep in so many ways asking and praying and trying to get to the root because I don't want to be in this intensity.
Right, right.
It's not what I'm wanting, but I'm manifesting it, so I don't know how to resolve that.
It's just accepting. Accept that part. Accept the part that is manifesting this hyper thing. And love that part. Love that part that's doing it. And there's reasons. When you get into the love and accepting of it, how it came to be reveals itself. And it comes to be for compensation reasons or trying to get to what the purpose is. And there's usually some amazing reasons in there.
Okay.
So it's not something that we're beating up, right? We're not going to beat up the part that's beating up on ourselves or making a hyper alert life. We're going to notice that there's some amazing qualities in there, and it mirrors your daughter's hypersensitivity in a different way.
Yeah, so I just heard that right before you said it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's a mirror.
I heard it.
So just keep loving, and as you accept that, then more solution shows up. So also keep integrating it, because a power that's a huge out of control power outside of ourselves, the more we accept and integrate it, it becomes more useful to us.
Okay.
It becomes something that we can use in the world as opposed to this accidental skill outside of ourselves, the out of control power. it becomes more us. So there's beauty in it. So don't forget that part. It's not just about we got to fix it, right? There's beauty within the wound. There's beauty within the learning how. It's just an evolution is all it is. When we remove the judgment, we can take it in pretty easily.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And just one teeny, teeny thing to share. Last night I ended up having to be at Kaiser again with my husband, and one of our donors who have been for 2 months old board member and really needing his support, and we've been back and forth text, email, never working out to connect. I saw him in the pharmacy last night.
Oh, wow.
And it was one of those perfect timings and one of those things where I just said, okay, I'm going to take this as a sign that really and truly everything is going to align. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Good.
And whether it really is a sign or not, I don't know, but I claimed it as one.
Exactly. You claim all the signs as signs. All the billboards, they're signs. So that there is, you know, it's just showing how you're connecting and bringing together, and it'll all line up. That power, you'll integrate it. Just continue to love that. And every moment you spend beating yourself up for it is a moment that you could have spent loving yourself and integrating. And so you'll get there.
I'll remember that. Okay, I'll remember that.
All right. Much love.
Thank you, Sherry,
bye-bye.
For everything. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. All right. See where we are. So there's quite a few hands up, and I'm not going to be able to get to everyone today, but I'm going to make note of everybody's hands up, and I go ahead and send me an email with what you would have asked today, and I'll answer it for you there. I'd like everyone in the group to take some breaths, some cleansing breaths, and have your pillars surround you again. I'm assuming they're still there, but be aware of that. And your alignment, some of your alignments have upgraded since the call began. I'm going to bring in the new earth energy here again. As I think we're grounding more energy today, let's go ahead and do that. And I'd like you to put your attention to your awakening powers, the magic within that's been asleep. And go ahead and love that part of you that's kept it asleep. And give it space to awaken. Room to stretch. And as you renegotiate your life or your inner wholeness, this part will have more room at the table. And it will upgrade the other parts, but the other parts will also teach it, you know, current life negotiations will take place in a good way. As each presents solutions to what you're working towards. Each has a message, even the cranky ones, even the belligerent ones, even the stuck ones. And it will love each fear all the way through until we return to wholeness. Okay, there's more energy coming with the pillars, so we'll stay with that for a few minutes. Prosperity is as much a state of mind and giving ourselves permission to have it. And as we declare that we are prosperous people and that our art is prosperous, our career is prosperous, the way we work in the world is prosperous, then we begin to attract more and more of the solutions for this. And the opposite is true. The more we think that people don't love what we do, the more we'll attract that. We'll continue to love these aspects of us. If there's any part of yourself that's ready to dissolve within the pillars, a part of a program that you've held on to, let that dissolve now. Okay. Thank you all very much. It's been a pleasure to do this entire program with you. And if I can help you with anything else, I'm doing private sessions. You're welcome to join our VIP pod if you'd like to have a call and a weekend every month. And you have that at the bottom of your page. We let you know about that. Anyway, much love to you.
Thank you.
Hui ho, everyone. Sherry.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
Much love. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Dan. Thank you.